Hello and welcome to Middle East Today with me, Ali Risk, coming to you from Cairo. This is Tahrir Square, a square which has become a symbol of mass movement. On January 25th, 2011, mass protests led to the fall of former President Hosni Mubarak. And on July 30th, 2013, this same mass movement also played a pivotal role in the ousting of former President Mohamed Morsi. We shall take a look at the future of Egypt and how its future will affect the region and the broader world. June 30, 2013, exactly 1 year since Muslim Brotherhood figure Mohamed Morsi became president of Egypt in elections widely deemed to be free and fair. This date will undoubtedly go down in history as a major point in post-Mubarak Egypt. On that day, demonstrators flocked to Tahrir Square in Cairo and elsewhere in the country in protests which some described as the largest ever to be seen in the world's biggest Arab nation. A group named Tamarrud, or the rebel movement, is seen as a driving force behind the popular resentment towards Morsi that led the people to take to the streets. Youth movements, ordinary citizens, secular figures, and even some Islamist groups all participated under the banner of Tamarrud. The common trait amongst these various groups, deep opposition and resentment to Mohamed Morsi and the Muslim Brotherhood. Then on July 3, 2013, the Egyptian army stepped in, declaring a new roadmap for Egypt, and thus removing Morsi from power and suspending the constitution, which was ratified by a popular referendum under Morsi's rule. الأمر الذي استوجب من القوات المسلحة استنادا على مسؤوليتها الوطنية والتاريخية التشاور مع بعض رموز القوى الوطنية والسياسية والشباب ودون استبعاد أو إقصاء لأحد حيث اتفق المجتمعون على خارطة مستقبل تتضمن خطوات أولية تحقق بناء مجتمع مصري قوي ومتماسك لا يقصي أحدا من أبنائه وتياراته وتياراته وينهي حالة الصراع والانقسام وتشتمل هذه الخارطة على الآتي تعطيل العمل بالدستور بشكل مؤقت يؤدي رئيس المحكمة الدستورية العليا اليمين أمام الجمعية العامة للمحكمة إجراء انتخابات رئاسية مبكرة على أن يتولى رئيس المحكمة الدستورية العليا إدارة شؤون البلاد خلال المرحلة الانتقالية ولحين انتخاب رئيساً جديداً لرئيس المحكمة الدستورية العليا سلطة إصدار إعلانات دستورية خلال المرحلة الانتقالية تشكيل حكومة كفاءات وطنية قوية وقادرة تتمتع بجميع الصلاحيات لإدارة المرحلة الحالية. The run-up to this phase began with the formation of the Tamarrud movement on April 28, 2013. Tamarrud's declared goal was to force Morsi to hold early presidential elections, with the movement stating that it was able to gather over 22 million signatures of support by the time it had come for the anti-government protest to take place on the first anniversary of the Morsi presidency. But prior to the mass turnout, Morsi made a televised speech where he implied that what was taking place in Egypt was the work of enemies of the country, something which only appeared to increase the popular resentment against him. Morsi's speech ultimately hardened the demands of the protesters, who then called for his ouster and the intervention of the military. And indeed, in the end, the military did go ahead and take this step. But the opposition towards Morsi in the first place is believed to stem from a variety of factors, including increased poverty and deteriorated economic conditions, like the long lines to fill up fuel at gas stations, which Egyptians say is something they had never experienced even during the Mubarak rule. One big fatal mistake committed by Morsi in running the country, according to observers, is that he behaved too much like a Muslim Brotherhood figure and not enough like a statesman.
His performance was very poor and he did not take care or fulfill the promises he made on different occasions. And he did not deal with the serious files that he promised to, especially the five files he promised to deal with during the first 10 days of his stay in power. He depended only on those whom he trusted from the Islamists. But he did not benefit from the human power potential that is rich in Egypt.
Foreign policy matters are also cited as a factor which contributed to Morsi's fate. The deposed president took a strong stance against Syria during his tenure. He reportedly took part in an event alongside hardline extremists calling for a holy war in Syria, where he is said to have called for foreign intervention against the Syrian government. This did not go down well with the Egyptian army, due to concerns that fighting alongside the extremist groups in Syria would obviously lead to the emergence of militants inside Egypt, putting Egyptian national security on the line in the process. Cairo has had its own bitter experience with radicals, and after all, it is the homeland of Al-Qaeda's leader, Ayman al-Zawahiri. Another foreign policy blunder is believed to be ties with Israel and the US. At the time where Morsi took the hardline stance against Damascus, ties with Israel remained unchanged during his presidency, and many believe that he also relied too much on his relations with Washington as a source of his power. Such an approach did not live up to the expectations of the majority of Egyptians, who are known for their anti-Israeli and anti-US sentiments.
He trusted America in the ambassador, American ambassador, did play a role to support the Muslim Brotherhood. And the people dislike that. The people do not accept America and the American interest and the American aid. And they hated the American ambassador. He wrote a very serious letter to Perez, Shimon Perez, saying to him, "My dear friend," and people will never forget that. From a Muslim who is ruling, and before coming to power, he used to be in the opposition to Mubarak, and he was very brilliant as a good parliamentarian at that time. Even America obliged him to apologize because of a speech he gave when he was in the opposition related to the Israelis and the Jews, and he accepted to do that.
This is the furthest we could get to the US embassy, which is behind these security barricades you can see. With respect to the US stance, of course, the Muslim Brotherhood does accuse Washington of standing behind what took place, whereas the opponents of Mohammed Morsi and the Brotherhood accuse Washington of standing in support of the Muslim movement. But perhaps the broader question is, how much influence does the US really have on the events which took place here in Egypt? While the US appeared to maintain strong ties with Egypt under Morsi, it appeared either unwilling or incapable of doing anything to help change his fate. The US stance appeared to be a carbon copy of the stance during the revolution that brought down former dictator Hosni Mubarak, with whom Washington had extremely strong ties. The US appeared caught off guard by the anti-Mubarak demonstrations, and the same could be said about its reactions to the anti-Morsi demonstrations. US President Barack Obama stopped short of calling what took place a coup and merely called on the Egyptian military to restore a democratically elected civilian government. American confusion appeared evident as well, with congressmen like US Senator John McCain asserting that what took place was a military coup and hence that U.S. aid to Egypt must be cut off in accordance with American laws. But in the end, the bottom line for Washington is believed to be its interests, irrespective of who is in power. And it is these interests, and not those in power, which play the major role in guiding U.S. policy towards the unfolding events in Egypt.
The Pentagon has many predictions to this complicated situation, and they were aware about what may come, but what have been happened was bigger than their predictions and their estimations. I don't think that the United States was in need of all this chaos. What the United States wants is precisely, number one, assuring Israeli national security, number two, assuring the free navigation at Suez Canal, number three, assuring that oil flow will continue to the west.
But even though Washington may have diminished influence and leverage, it is certain to pursue efforts to make sure that whoever is in office in Egypt will continue to stick by the norms, like maintaining ties with Israel and strong relations between the Egyptian military and the Pentagon. The visit by U.S. Deputy Secretary of State William Burns to Cairo, in which he met Interim President Adli Mansour, who was installed by the Egyptian military, the first visit by a top American official since Morsi's ouster, could be placed within the context of making sure that Cairo will not change course on issues related to U.S. interests, despite the changes in leadership.
Now, Washington seems that it contradicts itself. Whether we approve that this president-elected president to be ousted, or to support the democratic choice of the Egyptian people. And I think this paradox will solve itself through what is coming of events that, number one, maintaining peace treaty and every peace accords between Egypt and Israel. Number two, securing the situation in Suez Canal. Number three, its interests in this country regarding to the all the relationships between the Pentagon and the armed forces here in Egypt. We can say that America will move according to its interests and also according to the Israeli interests, not more. Washington don't look to this benefits or the good of the whole Egyptian people. Neither Muslims nor Christians or any other party, what Washington wants is precisely its interests.
Egypt has entered once again a period of political uncertainty. Divisions are already prevailing amongst those who supported the removal of Mohamed Morsi, particularly between the Salafists and those who are considered to be more secular figures. Now, of course, the Muslim Brotherhood has also refused to enter into any political process. At the same time, many believe that this country cannot be run and cannot be stable without the participation of the Muslim Brotherhood. Pro-Morsi and pro-Brotherhood supporters, meanwhile, continue to camp out in large numbers in Rabi al-Adawiyya Square. This gathering by pro-Morsi supporters has caused severe traffic jams due to the blocking of roads and is thus disrupting daily life. But people here show no sign of backing down. Senior figures from the Brotherhood even say they will not participate in any cabinet, despite the calls made by the Egyptian Interim Authority for participation. These calls for participation, however, have also coincided with the arrests of senior Brotherhood officials whom the military accuses of instigating violence in the country.
I cannot accept that they can encourage enough to invite us to this odd government. What is void? It is not valid. It is something strange to have a government appointed after a government elected. Every city, every town, not only every governorate, demonstrate every night supporting legitimacy of the constitution, not only for the president. President without a constitution don't make anything.
And while opponents of the Brotherhood say the movement was backed by Washington, members of the movement say that the U.S. took part in the campaign that eventually led to their ouster from power.
To understand what is going on in Egypt since January 2011, you must take in consideration that Mr. Mubarak was the man of America and Israel, and he is the man of the Gulf. And when he was expelled and stepped down and pushed to step down, it was prepared to have or restore the same strategy, the same regime, the same policies by another man like Omar Suleiman or Ahmed Shafiq. When Mr. Morsi was elected, this was a very big surprise and a very big chaos for those alliance of Israel and America. Mr. Morsi comes from the School of Muslim Brotherhood, which want to cooperate with all nations on the ground of respect and mutual relations and preserving all interests. Our interest is the first, of course, before others. So when Mr. Morsi come, he opened relation with Tehran, he opened relation with Russia, he visited India, China, Brazil, South Africa, and this was a very big change in the foreign policies of Egypt. And this was must be stopped by the alliance of Israel and alliance of America in the region. So we are now restoring our revolution again to have which is more important than Mr. Morsi or even the constitution, that is our independence.
The scene in Rabia al-Adawiya reveals that the Brotherhood still has a sizable number of loyal followers despite the mass protests staged against it in Tahrir Square. Supporters of Morsi and the Brotherhood insist that democracy and their votes were stolen from them.
We know that right is might, but not might is right. Our right is to have our president back to Egypt, back to his legitimate position. This had been a bloody military coup. The president is still under arrest. We don't know why. He is the legitimate president. The Egyptians, voted five times for the constitution, for the national declaration, for the parliament elections, and also for the president. And the opposition doesn't believe in the elections, so they want to do it by force. And they have this coalition with the army for this military coup. So we are showing the whole world that we will continue. Millions will stay in the streets until our president is back to his legitimate position.
Even if you continue, what are the chances you'll succeed? Because the army seems firm on its stance. It's even arresting.
No, it's time for the whole world to know that our newly born democracy is being buried alive by Sisi, and it's time for the national, the United Nations and all the other countries to give a hand in this, because they have exposed themselves to the whole world that they wanted to take by force the legitimacy of the Egyptians, which they have been fighting for 30 years of cancerous corruption.
The people here proved to me that they're going to stay here until they get what they want, and I'm with them to the end. So it's either they're going to get what they want, or this will never end. This is a serious movement for our democracy and our rights, and the whole international community should realize that according to international law, according to the international definition of democracy, that what has happened here is completely undemocratic, and this is what we are working to achieve and to make sure that others understand here.
I'm supporting the revolution. Here, what happened in the last week is a military coup. This military coup will ensure that the old regime completely comes back as the way it is. For example, the spokesperson for the current regime or current government, Moussalemani, he's the person who wrote Mubarak's speeches. The entire Mubarak cabinet are almost all free. We only know one legitimate way, or the world knows only one legitimate way, and it is elections. A ballot happens, whoever wins that ballot has a term, and when his term ends, the people that chose him get to either pick someone else or pick him again.
The end result is then depolarization in Egyptian society between rival camps, which has even sparked fears of civil war. Protesters from rival camps have already clashed on several occasions, leading to deaths and casualties on both sides. However, the Egyptian army has taken a stance in support of the anti-Morsi camp and appears to be in complete cohesion in its opposition to the Muslim Brotherhood.
And that wraps up this episode of Middle East Today, which we brought to you from Cairo.
Don't forget to tune in to our future episodes as we attempt to go ahead and take on more in-depth analysis on events taking place in this region of rapid change.